Amen, amen. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Praise God. All right, you may be seated. The Lord bless you. It seems like quite a while ago that I started this lesson, and we've had, almost a month ago now, the 15th of June, and we've had a lot of great things going on. Praise God. Tremendous camp meeting, youth camp and family camp, and all the wonderful things that the Lord has done with VBS and visiting ministers, and the power of God to bless us in a great way. Praise God. But I want to remind you of how the Lord viewed some of the situations that he witnessed, some of the things that he observed. And the word double comes to mind as a double portion in terms of Elisha. Praise God, what power and what blessing are available if you want it. Amen. Brother Ogg's powerful preacher from the 70s and 80s wrote a series of books, You Gotta Have the Want To. Amen. And thank God we can have the want to of a double portion. And Elisha was blessed. Paul wrote about double honor given to the elders and those workers in the Lord. James warned about being double-minded. And we know that that's a situation that can exist when people are trying to serve God on the one hand and hold on to the things of the world on the other. And it's real uncomfortable to sit on the fence. Real uncomfortable. When the Lord says in his word, the book of Ephesians, that he made us to sit together in heavenly places, why in the world be content to sit on the fence when you can be sitting in heavenly places? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Be determined you're going to follow the Lord. Jude gave a warning about those who were twice dead and plucked up by the roots. And then the Lord's very strong reprimand to the Pharisees, who were doing a lot of things right, who had all the appearances of being godly and holy and righteous. But he said, you go to great lengths to make a proselyte. And he wasn't condemning evangelism. He wasn't saying you shouldn't do that. But what he was condemning was the attitude of hypocrisy, of doing a lot of things right, but having the wrong spirit and attitude. He said, you make that proselyte, you make that convert a twofold child of the devil. I read that and I thought, my goodness, no wonder they didn't get along. No wonder they were after him. He didn't pull any punches. He didn't hold anything back. He let them know. Your hypocrisy is what is wrong. Yes, you do a lot of things right. Yes, you fast. Yes, you pray. But you do it for show. And not to glorify God. So, at the outset here of this particular lesson, we understand the attitude is just as important as the appearance. The actions are just as important. Amen. Amen. And so that's what we follow through on when we talk about separation from the world. Okay. And that separation from the world is both in spirit and in action and in attitude and in your mind and in your heart. Amen. And thank God it's evident on the outside as well. 2 Peter 3 and 11. I'll have a lot of scriptures here, Brother Sam, and we'll need to take a look at them because they're very important in establishing the foundation for what we're talking about here in terms of separation. Now, Peter is making mention of the judgment of the flood, and he points out that that's how God dealt with sin. He didn't overlook it. He didn't excuse it. He didn't justify it. He condemned it, and he judged it. And Peter is making reference to that. But then he says, the same world, by the same word, is reserved unto fire. And he makes comments relative to that. And then verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. And that's going to be a tremendous fire to dissolve the elements. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now, in modern versions, modern translations, conversations is translated conduct. Conduct. Conversation, naturally, what you say, what you talk about, what you converse about, should be affected by a desire for holiness. But it expands beyond that and envelops your whole attitude of conduct. How did Noah live in light of the coming flood? How did he behave? How did he order his life? I don't think he was out partying with the crowd. I don't think he excused his behavior. I don't think he stood around telling jokes that were a bit risque and didn't allow his sons and excuse them to just go ahead and behave however they wanted. I think he had an eye on the flood that was to come. No, it had not rained before. No, there had not been a flood or even a judgment of this magnitude, but he had heard from God, and he then changed his lifestyle. The Bible says he was obedient to the command of God. He worked on the ark to the saving of his house. And he worked for over a century. Now, all around him, he saw marriage and feasting. He saw people seeking treasure and pleasure. He witnessed great wickedness, but that did not change him. He felt bad and probably had times of prayer and weeping that the people were not changing. They were not taking heed to his message. And he prayed all the harder, no doubt, for his family, that they would be able to escape the judgment that was coming upon the world. His life was opposite of what he saw in the world. The total opposite. And the purpose that God gave him was what he was intent on fulfilling. He didn't waver from that. He didn't take a vacation from it. He didn't say, man, we've been working on this ark for 75 years. I think we need a break. Well, I don't know. I think he just decided, we're going to keep going. We're not going to stop. We've got a judgment coming, a flood coming. Now, in light of that, Peter foretold the judgment that the world is reserved unto by fire, the elements melting with a fervent heat. Whether that's seismic activity and volcanic activity or nuclear warfare, whatever it might be, the scripture talks about fervent heat. That's going to melt the elements. The earth and its works burned up. The mockers and the scoffers that are present at the time that this is going to take place will suffer in that judgment. Yet God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Praise God. I'm thankful the mercies of the Lord are still extended and still willing to receive one who is repented and able to make that change. So holy conduct and godliness. Philippians 1:27, Paul understood about words and conversation, and again, conversation meaning more than the spoken word. It means a conduct. But he says here, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1:27. And let it reflect the good news. Let it impact you as though you understand how powerful the gospel is. With wholesome reading material, whatever is printed, whatever is on the internet, make sure it's becoming the gospel of Christ. Praise God. And Isaiah 33 and 15 in part talks about walking righteously and shutting your eyes from seeing evil. Don't do that when you're driving and walking on the sidewalk or in the mall or something. We know what he's referring to. Don't dwell on those things. There's evil all around you, but don't dwell on those things. Amen. Instead, delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there can be the follow me obedience as Jesus beckons us to continue on with him, to continue to follow. Praise God. Not just a start and then a diversion, a detour, but follow me. Praise God. And thank the Lord. The Bible lets us know how he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled. And he is separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. That almost seems like we have no chance then. But no, his mercy is everlasting. Praise God. Amen. There's a couple of pictures I want to show you about a good use of the internet. The devil makes sure that he takes over a lot of aspects of technology. And twists it and corrupts it, but praise God, there's a good use. Here's a contact of Sister Mary Ann. What are their names, Sister Mary Ann? All right, they're standing with Missionary Tolstad, good man from CBC, and they got baptized in Jesus' name. Look at there, praise God. Hallelujah. And he got baptized also. Praise God. In the name above every name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's contact on the internet. Right. They're a pastor of a nice congregation. And Brother Tolstad has been used mightily in reaching out to denominational pastors and teaching them baptism in Jesus' name and one God. And praise God, they're being converted and their churches are being baptized. That's the way to use the internet. Praise God. Amen. And let the media work the work of the kingdom of God. Be consistent in your convictions. Amen. Your mind should not be contaminated, and certainly not the minds of your children contaminated by those things. Amen. Be on guard. Guard your heart, the Bible says. And thank the Lord we can obey that and follow through. It's getting harder, but the Bible says that. Evil men shall wax worse and worse or become more and more wicked. That's the sign of the end times. And we're certainly aware of that. But God help us to push us in another direction. All right? If evil is getting worse and worse, I'm going to reach out for more and more holiness and the things of God and let him change me even more. Praise God. Praise God. So your appearance, everybody say appearance. Your actions, say actions. Your attitudes, say attitudes. All of those things need to be different because you have a divine touch in your life, a divine presence. You are partaker of the divine nature. You're different. Praise God. And that touch from God affects the way you dress. It affects the way you look. Amen. It changes the way that you dress. Not because you're trying to be holy, but because you are holy. And you're demonstrating that by the way you look. Now, this applies both to men and to women. Because in our society, it's becoming more and more prevalent as far as the alternative lifestyles, as we used to call it, just plain old perversion, and we've got to avoid that. Got to avoid it. Praise God. Let's go to 1 Peter 3 and verse 3. I think I have the Amplified here. I didn't make a note to myself whether it is, but it's pretty wordy, so it must be the Amplified. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious. God delights in that. So the piercing and the painting and the primping and pampering, not pleasing to the Lord. What's precious in His sight is what is on the inside, and that changes the way you look on the outside. Paul said it this way, 1 Timothy 2 and 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Modest apparel. Now, that's really going against the grain, isn't it? That's really going counterculture. It's not modest at all. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. In other words, not spending a whole bunch of time on making sure everything is, you know, putting on their face. And one time on an airplane, I'm glad I had good sense not to ask. But a lady came down the aisle and sat close to me, and I really, really wanted to ask, how much time did you spend in front of a mirror putting on all of that stuff? I almost did, but good sense grabbed a hold of me. I also wanted to ask, how much does that stuff cost? See what you've been delivered from? Praise God. Amen. There are those who complain about, not you. You don't complain about tithes and offerings. But there are others who complain about tithes and offerings. But yet they're not spending money on alcohol. They're not spending money on tobacco. They're not spending money on makeup. They're not spending money on just a whole bunch of things that are peripheral and not pertinent to a holy lifestyle. Amen. Thank God. Verse 10, Paul said, but, after saying what shouldn't be, he said, but women professing godliness should show that with good works. Praise God. Modesty. Let's define that. What's a good working definition of modesty?
Balance.
What is it?
Balance.
Balance. And we're not talking about balance of walking on the back of the pew. We're talking about letting your life be an example of what the Lord has done in your life. Amen. What else about modest? Sister Sherry used to be in Saudi Arabia, and you wore one of those outfits, right? Okay.
The women wore masks under veils and then the whole
on days like today. I don't know how in the world they did. I still remember very vividly being on the subway in Washington, D.C., and this black form coming onto the subway and sitting down, and all you could see was eyes. That's it. And when she sat down, she undid this part. And from what we could see of her face, she was a very nice-looking lady. And she came to her stop. That part went back on again. All you could see was this. And she stepped off. Now, we're not talking about modesty to that extreme. We're talking about modesty that doesn't inspire lust. And it seems like the world's fashions, and I know you young ladies are somewhat challenged to find something off the rack that is going to be modest. But when you prevail and you pray and you ask God to help out, praise God, there, the Lord gives results that will help you to be modest. Jesus warned about a man lusting after a woman in his heart. And God bless our ladies, young and old, who are not going to be a party to that and not purposely dress in a way that is going to create those problems. Amen.
In other words, like Scripture says, not being a stumbling block.
Yeah. Don't cause somebody else to stumble. And the world doesn't think twice about that kind of stuff. But you do, because you're pleasing him, and not the fashions, not the crowd, not the culture, not society. You're pleasing him. Amen. And thank God that's what we can be working towards. Women are feminine and men are masculine. Real simple. Women are feminine and not masculine. Deuteronomy 22 and 5, a woman is not to wear men's clothing. To be godly and feminine, because godly young men want to marry someone like that. Amen. And a man is to be masculine and not feminine. That same verse of Scripture says, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Important for a man to look like a man and a woman to look like a woman. Amen. That's the way the Lord views it. And it's interesting that that's the way still society works with it. There, most of the time in the hospital, in most public places, when you need to find the restroom, it's still pretty easy to identify which is which, because one figure doesn't have a skirt on and the other figure does. And it's interesting that society still uses that. And when there's a school marker and it shows children walking on the sign, guess what? There's still a boy and a girl, and you can tell. Maybe that day is coming when they're going to change it. I don't know. but we're not going to change. We're not going to change. Praise God. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians 11. Two examples, two symbols that are there. The end of the chapter deals with the cup and the bread. Yeah. And that's the second set of symbols that the apostle uses in 1 Corinthians 11. Now, the first set of symbols, or something symbolic, that the apostle uses is the length of hair on a man compared to the length of hair on a woman. And Paul says it's short hair on men and long hair on women. Yeah. Even nature teaches you, he says, that that's the way it's supposed to be. And the sign of glory for a woman is to have long hair. Oh, well, how long is long? Is it past your ears? Is it on your shoulders? Is it down to your shoulder blades? How long is long?
Uncut
is long. Amen. Pretty simple, huh? Pretty simple. So, a checklist that you might go through that is just very practical. You have to be practical in these things. Oh, let me just insert this at this point as well. I don't know how many times I have been told or I've heard the words, I'm not going to follow man's laws. I'm not going to follow man's rules. I've heard that lots of times. Well, go 75 miles an hour on the way home. Don't worry about man's rules. An octagonal sign or a hexagonal sign? Hexagonal, however you say it. STOP, that stands for skid tires on pavement. Peel out, man, just go for it. Don't even stop when you come to one of those. Just kind of slow down and then just hit it. Man's rules anyway. You don't have to pay attention to that. Income tax? Oh, my goodness, I hate income tax. I don't think I'm going to follow man's rules. See how stupid that is? And when the Word of God says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I mean, when it comes down to seeing the Lord or not, I think I'm going to follow what the Word of God says. And if people want to qualify that as man's rules, well, I got it from the Word of God. Amen. Okay, so here's the practical list, a checklist. Does the Bible condemn this before you engage in it? Can I pray and ask Jesus to bless it? You know, a direction or an activity. Can I take Jesus with me? Will this be a blessing to others, or will this be a stumbling block to anyone? And then, will this hinder my service to Jesus in any way? I got to be practical about it. Amen. I don't think an angel needs to show up and tell you point blank what you need to do or not. Just common sense. Because there's a profit to this. Amen. Godliness is profitable in all things. 1 Timothy 4 and 8. Now, in Paul's culture, the Greeks emphasized the body, and the Romans, with their military stance and presence, obviously depended on great physical condition and so on. And the Olympics, after all, originated with the Greeks. Paul acknowledged that bodily exercise had a little profit, a little good, but he said, godliness is profitable unto all things. And notice this, having promise of the life that now is, it helps you now, and that which is to come. Praise God. So right now and the hereafter, praise God. The benefits of godliness. There's inward happiness and fulfillment that's not dependent on outward circumstances. There's blessings richer than wealth and fairer than health. There's a heart reconciled to the divine will. All things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Is that what it says? Boy, you get a lot of people who are hoping that their financial circumstances change. And thank God, the Lord blesses us financially when we are faithful to Him financially. And a lot of people hopeful that there's a prosperity that comes, you know, and all things are going to work together for good. God's going to turn this around in my favor. And He will. If you are working according to His purpose and your love for Him results in a change in your life.
Yeah.
Amen. But how often is the paradox that comes in a believer's life? So many gains in spite of the losses. So much health in spite of sickness. That sounds like a paradox. But a spiritual health that comes because of your determination to serve God and then to live by dying.
Yeah.
Amen. Our witness of the power and the blessing of the Lord. Godliness has a promise of a heavenly future.
Yeah.
Amen. I remember hearing the report of a man who was discharged from the hospital. Sent home to die. Medical science could do nothing more for him. And he told, he had been taken home by an ambulance or by hospice or somebody. And he said, take me by the church. Take me by the church. I want to see people in the church. And they drove him up in the parking lot. And people knew he was there. They came out to greet him. And they helped him into the church. And everyone he saw, he said, have you heard the good news? Have you heard the good news? I'm going home to see Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Well, when you live with that anticipation, when you live with that excitement, when you live with that goal, when it becomes within reach, let there be an excitement. Praise God. I'm going to be with the Lord soon. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, most people, that would sound kind of twisted. That would sound like he's high on meds or something. But no, it's somebody that's got that hope within their hearts. Praise God. And thank the Lord that there can be that blessing of the Lord. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He's not asking a rhetorical question here. He's not saying something that is reflecting on the impossible. Because he goes on and answers his own question. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Praise God. You see, godliness is powerful. It's powerful. Paul talked about those who denied the power of godliness. They wanted just a form of godliness, but they denied the power. They denied the power to change. They denied the power to overcome. They denied the power to be victorious. They just were satisfied with a form of godliness. Now there's power in godliness. Praise God. Because godliness has power to change you. Change your heart, change your mind, change your attitude, change your appearance, change your conduct, change your actions. Praise God. The power of godliness. Amen. And thank God for His convicting power of what is wrong, what is harmful, and we put it aside. Amen. And let the Lord continue to help us. Amen. To take steps of commitment to what is right and not fall short of that place. Praise God. Because, oh, the Lord is going to demonstrate His power. Thank God. And we can rejoice in healing and rejoice in the man in the Philippines who got up out of the wheelchair after 3 years. And just all of the other circumstances that we're aware of right here and in our own camp meeting. Praise God. How God demonstrated His power in a tremendous way. But if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that quickened Christ shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Praise God. That's the demonstration of power. Amen. And it's his Holy Spirit that is at work in us for a holy outcome. Amen. Praise God. And we're changed now by his Spirit, by his word, by a love for him, so that we can be changed when the trumpet sounds. Glory to God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to baptize Harley here in a few minutes. Praise God. What an awesome step that he is willing to take in obedience to the word of God. Amen. And oh, the step that you and I need to take. Praise God. As we draw closer to him with a determination, I'm going to live to please you, Lord. Amen. Go ahead and step out from where you are so that that's an affirmative step. Amen. And Brother Merle, go ahead and take Harley down and get him ready. Praise God. Thank the Lord that we can make our determination evident and desire that there would be the change in us, because we're reflecting his salvation, the work that he's done in our lives. Amen. The woman at the well, leaving her water pot in her excitement to go into the city to tell about Jesus. I think she left a lot of other things behind too. I think her life changed from that time forward. The woman taken in adultery, and the men thrusting her forward and picking up rocks to stone her, and the Lord saying, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. How strong do you think the change was in her life? How determined do you think she was? Go and sin no more? I can do that. And then as the Lord led her step by step and her desire for the Lord and his approval, I think there were a lot of changes. Amen. And the man who was lame for 38 years at the pool and finally healed, and the Lord telling him the same thing, go and sin no more. Amen. Probably a lot of bitterness within him, and maybe an unforgiving heart at perhaps an accident that caused him to be lame for 38 years. And unforgiving the one who caused the accident. I don't know. Why would the Lord tell him, go and sin no more? Amen. Well, we're going to ask the Lord for his help. And we're not going to deny the power of godliness. We're going to welcome it. We're going to desire it. Praise God. We're going to live in it. Because that's what the Lord desires. Can we reach out to the Lord together? Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.